Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Call into us today for your flu and COVID vaccines at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Now, the Transport Minister, Eamon Ryan, has been warned that failure to invest more money into new road projects and improvements could result in the deaths of 77 people and 381 serious injuries over the next 5 years. The warning was issued by Transport Infrastructure Ireland, which outlined concerns about funding cuts. In a moment, we'll speak to Patrick O'Donovan, Fine Gael TD and Minister of State with responsibility for the Office of Public Works and the Gaeltacht, and also motoring journalist Michael Sheridan. But Philip Ryan is political editor with the Irish Independent and has the story, and Philip's on the line now. Good morning, Philip. Will you bring us through some of the detail? Because is it usual for a state agency like Transport Infrastructure Ireland to issue such a stark warning?
Yeah, this is interesting, AIM. I'm not sure how many times they've done it in the past, but the purpose of the agency is to build roads and to keep people safe on those roads. And naturally enough, they will pursue that agenda. They're statutorily obliged to do that. They're asked to make sure people can drive the roads and feel safe. The difference in this is that they have been presented with their annual budget. It's probably less, or it is less, than what would have been set out in previous national development plans, and such government policies as Project Ireland 2040 and the likes. So in that context, the Green Party has come in, led by Eamon Ryan, who is also Transport Minister, and they've put in place, as part of the programme for government, the policy that any spend on public transport has to be 2 times more than what is spent on roads, mm-hmm. with the ambition of getting people off the roads. But at the same time, people are still driving these roads, and Transport Infrastructure Ireland are setting out with their own analysis, which is based on statistics on collisions and the difference between travelling on a road. Let's say in one example is that if you're travelling on a dual carriageway compared to a single carriageway, you're 4 times more safer and 4 times less likely to be involved in a collision. So in this report, which was sent to Eamon Ryan last October, in the context of budget allocation for new roads this year, set out on a road-by-road example of the various projects that were underway and are supposed to get funding, how many possible deaths and how many possible injuries could be linked to any delay in furthering those projects.
Yeah, I think it's very stark that they go so far as outlining what you've just said there, the road-by-road breakdown for predicted fatalities. And the highest, they say, would be the Cork City Northern Transport Project, where they say 18 fatalities are predicted.
Or 252 serious injuries. The overall figures of 77 deaths potentially happening over the next 5 years is also pretty stark, and the figures vary. Like you have everything from the entry Virginia bypass, which could potentially have up to 4 deaths. You have the N4 to the Maynooth to Leixlip road, which could have nearly 6 fatalities over the next 5 years if works are not completed. It's worth saying as well, and a lot of these projects they're not shovel ready, they're kind of at a bit more of a beginning stage. That they could be at design, they could be at dealing with consultants. There's a long process in building a road, as most people will know, and it takes some time even before you get to the process of putting down the tarmac.
Philip, let's bring this into the politics, because we know the Green Party is committed to prioritising public transport projects over road projects. That's something that was agreed in the programme for government, so by all of the parties of government. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael TDs, they've been outspoken on this issue. They don't agree with it. But what did they expect? They signed up for it, or their parties did.
Well, this is the thing. They all had votes amongst their party to sign up this programme for government. It was one of the more contentious issues, if people cast their minds back to 2020, when the programme for government was being signed. It was a difficulty for the other government parties, the larger parties, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. But in the end of the day, like you pointed out, the parties came together, they voted through this programme for government, they put it to their membership, they got quite big support from their membership for this level of spending on roads versus public transport. And the Green Party entered government on the premise that this would happen. And this is They exist for the very reason of reducing carbon emissions, and this is one of the central planks of their plan to do such a thing.
All right, I want to bring in Minister Patrick O'Donovan now, who's been listening to all of that. What's your response to this document from Transport Infrastructure Ireland?
Maureen, Claire, and to your listeners as well. Well, look, I just saw the report in the Irish Independent, and I think one of the things that has to be noted is some of these roads that are outlined in this are actually making their way through the planning process at the moment. Two that I can speak to with a bit of knowledge are my own one, the Newcastle West Relief Road, and the Abbey Field Relief Road, both in my own constituency, both of which are making very steady progress through the planning process in terms of the final route selection with Transport Infrastructure Ireland and Limerick City and County Council. So obviously each one of these are at a different stage. But it is worth pointing out that over the last number of years, this government has invested very heavily in roads. You look at the road from Ballyvourney, the Macroom bypass in Cork is just one of them. And last week, €500 million allocated in Ballyhadreen on the Roscommon-Mayo border. So, look, there's no doubt about it. From my time as a councillor and as a TD, there's always demands for road improvements. That's natural. The N24 and the N20 in my own constituency will be two. And actually, I'm conscious of the fact that a man lost his road and lost his life rather last night between Glynn and Tarbert in my constituency and the N69. So all of these roads do require attention. There's absolutely no doubt about that. But it is important to say that significant government expenditure has already, in the last 2 years, and will continue in this year once the capital envelope is released,
be put into roads. Yeah, and we've had a statement from Eamon Ryan's spokesperson saying just that there has been, over the last 3 years, the government has allocated over €5 billion in funding on new roads. So is Transport Infrastructure Ireland, do they not have any need to issue this warning then about the number of fatalities?
I think it's very important, and I think it's timely, and I think the policymakers should reflect on it. At the end of the day, you know, unfortunately, every provincial radio station or Morning Ireland now that you turn it on, you're listening to a road fatality of some description all over the country. It's practically daily. And as Philip said there a while ago, these accidents more than likely are not happening on dual carriages or on motorways. They're happening on single carriages, minor roads, local roads and regional roads. So there's no doubt about it. If you speak to Garda Síochána, they will tell you that in terms of reducing road fatality, there's always three E's: enforcement, education, but engineering is equally an important plank of that.
So I suppose my question for you is, though, is there a problem when it comes to investment in road infrastructure?
Well, look, we want more of it. That's the reality. And I mean, you know, in terms of reducing emissions, it's very evident that if you're stuck outside the Dunraven Arms Hotel in Adair for a half an hour or 20 minutes with your engine running, it's adding a lot more in terms of carbon emissions than if your car was travelling by the village of Adair seamlessly on a bypass that should have been built now a number of years ago, but unfortunately due to planning delays and everything else hasn't been, but has finally now been given the green light. So the reality is these roads, relief roads, primarily, and then the report in the Irish Independent actually says that an awful lot of them are relief roads, will actually ironically reduce emissions.
But you don't seem to be blaming the Minister for Transport, Eamon Ryan, for any of this.
No, what I'm saying is that we need more money spent on our roads. I've always been an advocate of that, and any time I've been on with you, I've been very frank. I mean, you won't get from Mount Collins to Limerick in the morning to work, or from Oola to Shannon in the morning for work on a bus because it doesn't exist. So we need improvements in our roads in rural areas if we're to sustain rural communities. That's self-evident. Mm-hmm. You can always have, you know, expensive public transport projects going ahead in parallel, the bulk of which will be going into urban areas. But in terms of rural areas, we need the volume of money and more to make sure that not only are our roads safe, that the commutable distances that we have are manageable.
But you'll know that it was reported earlier in the year that 10 key road projects right around the country have stopped. They've stalled because of a directive issued by Eamon Ryan. So there was a certain amount, 146 million, released to TII, but it could only be spent on planning and design, but not on actually building the new roads.
No, and look, it is important that all of those road projects are kept alive. And speaking from experience, when the N20 Limerick to Cork Road died a bit during the recession, and you have to wind back the clock back to zero and start the whole thing with land acquisition, planning and the whole lot of public consultation, it's a nightmare. So those projects must be kept alive. And it's very important. And I know particularly for my colleagues in the Northwest, the road from Dublin to Sligo is a particular, through Longford, is a particular one that people are very vexed about, as is my own one, the Limerick to Cork motorway, and it should be a motorway. I don't think there's any argument around it now. Even the Irish Independent report today says that you're statistically likely to be a lot safer on a motorway than you are to be on a single carriage.
And is Eamon Ryan, holding any of this up, Patrick?
Well, look, whatever the whoever the reason is, I believe that, you know, and I stated this, that continued road investment, particularly in provincial and rural areas, not only is safe, but it'll actually add to emissions reductions. And our position as Fine Gael TDs, particularly from rural areas, is we want to advocate for this and we want more money spent on it. Because I have experienced, as a councillor going back over 20 years now, that, you know, minor adjustments to junctions, people will be very familiar with the road west of Newcastle West. It took 8 people to be killed at a particular junction west of Newcastle West, between Newcastle West and Tymperglanton, before anything was done with that road. Now, finally, we got it done when Pascal Donoghue was Minister for Transport. But it took a lot of money, it took a lot of time, but it has made the road a lot safer.
OK, but in the programme for government, it was agreed that the ratio, so spending on public transport versus road infrastructure, was going to be 2-1. Are you happy that in your constituency, more would be spent on public transport than on the roads?
Well, look, what I am happy with is that the roads projects that we need, the Limerick to Fyne, Limerick to the Adair bypass, Limerick to Cork, the Newcastle West and Abbeyfield bypasses are going ahead and they're funded. That's important. There's also a very significant public transport.
But are they, though? But are
well.
They, though? Because I just laid out the facts there on the 146 million that was released for planning. But then you have to stop and you're not allowed to go ahead.
Well, I can tell you the fact is that finally the last 4 objectors and judicial review to the Adair bypass have been removed, and Transport Infrastructure Ireland is funded to go ahead with the Adair bypass and the road onto Fines, which will be a motorway standard. And they're also working with Limerick City and County Council on the Abbeyfield and Newcastle West bypasses. So those roads are funded. Is more required? Absolutely. The road between Limerick and Doola out to the county bounds of Tipperary, like that road, the N24 onto Waterford, is in shocking condition. And we've had meetings, with county councils and public representatives from Waterford to Limerick, through Kilkenny and Tipperary. And we want to see that road upgraded.
OK, just while I have you there, I see in the papers today you're quoted from the Fine Gael Parliamentary Party meeting. And really the essence of what you're saying is that the budget next week should be geared towards the people who get up early in the morning, as Leo Varadkar once put it. Is that right?
Well, you know, it's an awful pity that some of the people that leak to journalists don't put their name in it, because, first of all, that's not what I said. What I said, what I was referring to, and even though I don't refer to confidential meetings, or at least what are supposed to be confidential meetings but never are, what I said was that it was said to me at a meeting recently that this budget should reward work and should reward people who either can't work, who did work, or who worked very hard. Because without people who work there, all of the talk about budgets, it's kind of irrelevant, because our tax take is based entirely on people who did work, who are now pensioners, people who can't work because of disability, or people who do work and who get out, as you say, early in the morning and leave their children and childminders and everybody else. So it should, absolutely. I've never been anything other than fully supportive of making sure that work should pay.
So if you let's take the reverse of that. People who are on social welfare then, are you saying, and people who are not working, should they not get anything in this budget?
No, I didn't say that. What I did say is that people who are paying the high rate of income tax at a relatively marginal income, and who have childcare costs, huge mortgages, why not give those people relief? Because they get nothing. They don't qualify for any schemes ordinarily. So why not reduce their tax, their USC burden, their PRSI burden? Because without them, if all of them decided to throw in the towel and said, you know something, the differential between me going to work and me staying at home is very little, where would our economy be then?
Mm-hmm. We've a lot of people working though at the moment. Like, we're almost at full employment.
Thanks for God. And that is a good thing. And to sustain that, we need to reduce the tax burden even further. But we need to reward those people who have kept us all afloat for so long.
That probably means, if we're at full employment, that the people who aren't working are people who are on illness benefit or who have disabilities, or their carers perhaps. Absolutely. Do they deserve increases in budget 2024?
Well, if you listen back to what I said a while ago, it's people who can't work, people who did work, and people who do work. I have no difficulty in terms of government expenditure in that. However, I do think that everybody has a responsibility in a society to play their part in it. And some people have decided to absent themselves on a voluntary basis from the labour force. And I do think that there's an issue there around that. No difficulty in saying it.
All right, Patrick O'Donovan, we'll leave it there. I have Michael Sheridan with us, so we're going back to the roads now, Michael, and this stark warning really from Transport Infrastructure Ireland about the number of fatalities, the number of serious incidents that would result if we don't have investment in new road projects and improvement works done. So how important are those roads for road when it comes to road safety?
Vital. We're relatively young as a nation to first world roads. I mean, I remember as a child when there was no motorways in Ireland and you'd have people travelling on single lane carriageways, doing dangerous overtakes. You'd have junctions that you were absolutely blind, cars pulling out, collisions happening left, right and centre. So the engineering advances and road engineering, there's been phenomenal improvements to surfaces, to the layout of roads, to getting rid of traffic being able to cross over other lanes, separation of traffic, separation of vulnerable road users from regular road users, increases in putting down high grip surfaces in common braking areas where your car needs to stop efficiently, better surfaces that can deal with runoff of rainwater, because rain is a big contributor to people having collisions and so on. So the engineering and the science behind it is phenomenal, but the spend has to keep going, because even though everybody will say, well, look, the roads, you know, they're for cars, but everything we have, everything in your house comes via a road at some stage. And also the solution, the long-term solution, I think, to a lot of our problems is we can have road trains of hydrogen-powered buses or whatever. So the road network is essential and is a vital part of keeping people safe.
And the types of vehicles that are on the roads are causing more wear and tear, are they now?
Well, we've got a lot of heavy goods vehicles. We've got your average car is heavier than it was. So just the mere fact of a car running down a road is going to cause a road surface to degrade. The interesting thing is that if maintenance doesn't happen, it's actually more costly to, you might have to rebuild sections. So regular maintenance and funding maintenance is vital. Mm-hmm. With all of these new road networks, the ability to get rid of dangerous junctions and bends and to have relief roads and to be able to bypass certain areas, it'll do wonders for the community, but it will also help people efficiently get around the country and your goods to arrive on time. Your ability actually to be green, as the minister said, a diesel car running efficiently at 80 or 100 kilometres an hour is producing very few emissions. But if you stop start that in slow town traffic, you are producing emissions.
But you know what the climate change ambition is, and you know what the Green Party would say, and they have agreed in the programme for government to invest more in public transport. Now, that means less for the roads. It's inevitable.
But ultimately, that public transport is going to be driving along roads and they're heavier vehicles. They're going to be actually damaging the roads that they should be maintaining. And before you know it, you'll have the vehicles themselves being damaged by potholes or poor repairs or having subsidence on roads. And all of these are things which can catch people out, because the most important thing when you're driving a car is to have a consistent surface and have a road that has sufficient space for everybody to use it. So the shift from single lane carriageways to two lane carriageways, it's vital for safety. The ability then to separate carriageways so that you've got traffic flowing in one direction, and if something does happen, that car or vehicle has no chance of then colliding into oncoming traffic. So all of these engineering solutions, they're there, but they cost money. Mm-hmm. And our network, we've got so many borings and back roads in Ireland, and we've got main roads, which in no way would be considered a main road in any other part of the first world or in Europe. And these things have to be improved on constantly.
Michael, thank you very much. Michael Sheridan there. We'll take a break back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.